is a book that was written to people trying to encourage them to do what was right and to live right. These people had a problem. Their problem was like the problem that we have today, like the problem that has been in the past. It's the same thing. It's no different. People are the same today as they were then, especially in their following of God. These people had a lack of serving God and doing God's will, so also do we today. And we have to work on that. After this lesson, or after this book that was written, there were 400 years of silence. And people say, why did God not say anything? Why did not God speak and plead with the people? He'd been doing it for years. And in this final book here, he gives a plea to those people and he puts it in their hands. Have you ever talked to somebody and said, okay, now, I've done everything I can do for you. It's yours now. You've got to do what you want to with it. That's what God is saying here to the children of Israel. That's what he's saying to those people at that time, and that's what he's saying to us too. I put it in your hands. You know what's right. You know what you need to do. It's not a matter of ignorance. It's a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of doing what you know you need to do. And so here's God's message to those people at that time. And think about this message as it relates to us. And it helps us. In this first part here, and we might say that this was an inspired book. If you look at Matthew 10 and verse 11, it talks there about how that there's going to be a person that's going to come and prepare the way for someone. Some say it was John the Baptist, some say it was the Lord, but the way is going to be prepared so that these people will know the right way to go, and there's one that's going to prepare that way. And I think it's John the Baptist. I think he's talking about John the Baptist. He's going to come. He's going to prepare the way for this Jesus Christ to come, this Messiah to come, this Savior of the world. Now, listen to this. In verse 1 it says, this message is the word of the Lord given to Israel through Malachi. Now, the word Malachi could be an individual, or it could be a messenger. The word means messenger. I think it's talking about Malachi, the messenger, is what it's really talking about. And so Malachi, God says, listen, I'm sending my word to this man. You listen to what he has to say. You hear his words, because his words are my words. What he's saying, I'm saying through him. Inspiration. And it is inspired. But you can also look, I think, in Luke 1, it's there, and some other passages too. Mark 1, it's found also there, where this book is quoted by Jesus as a book that is one of the prophets of God. So he does that. God says, I love Israel. He starts in verse 2 and going down through there. He said, I love you, but you act. Now, this is kind of like a conversation that God's having with these people, but God's giving their words. They wouldn't dare say them to God, but they really are saying them. The Lord says, I have loved you. I love you. You see, some people think, if you love me, then I can do whatever I want to. That's not it. If you love somebody, you respect that person. If you love somebody, you want to do the best for them and maybe not for your own self. And so God says, I love you. But you ask, how have you loved us? God, you love us? Yes, I love you. Well, now, listen to this. You're not giving us what we want. You're not blessing us. You're not honoring us. You're not showing us that respect. See, they want God to show them respect, but they don't show God respect. Sound like anybody in the world today? That they want the respect of God, but they don't show God the respect that He deserves? Sound like a lot of people today. We've got to show God that respect. Listen to what he says. He talks about Jacob and Esau. Henry talked about that just a little bit this morning. He said Esau and Jacob were brothers. I loved Esau and I hated, or I loved Jacob and I hated Esau. Now, don't get lost in the word hated. Sometimes people take that word as we would use it. I think it might be, I don't respect Esau because he's not following me. You know, you can love somebody but not respect them, can't you? And that's the way God is here with the children of Israel. I love you. I want the best for you, but I cannot respect you because of the way you live. Sometimes we mess up on this idea of love and caring for other people and hatred for other people. And like God's going to hate these people. God doesn't respect these people. God will forgive. Always remember that. God will forgive. God will forgive people their sins. He said, one I hated, one I loved. Why? Because one was doing his will and one was not doing his will. He said, look what I've done for Esau. I punished him. I punished his land there. Verse 3, but I hated Esau. I destroyed his mountains, mountain country, and left his land to the wild dogs of the desert. They said, but he built it back. Yes, but understand something. If you go against God, God's going to be against you. And understand that. You've got to understand that. And it's not a matter of just, well, you know, I'm worshiping God. I'm doing what God wants me to do a little bit. No, what we got to do is to give everything we have to God. And if we don't do that, the people of Edom, they Edomites, these people are his descendants who were destroyed. But we will go back and rebuild the ruins, they said. But God said, they will never prosper because they're against me and I'm against them. They're going to suffer. Understand something. God will always punish sin. He'll always do that. And he's going to continue to do that. What we've got to do is to understand what we've got to do is stay as far away from sin as we can. That sin shows a disrespect for God, but the Lord is all powerful. And he says, listen, if you rebuild it, I'll destroy it. I'll take it down. If we rebuild anything and we're not following God, God's going to take it down. Now, look if you would in verse 6, as he says here, the priests don't respect God. Now, it's one thing for the people not to respect God. You might say, well, they don't know the Word of God that well. Or they might not have had the opportunities to find out about God and to know the many facets of God. But he said, you're the priest. You're supposed to know God. You're supposed to honor God. And you can't say, oh, I don't know. Listen, to be a priest, you had to know. And you had to know the Word of God. Not just have a Bible, but you had to know what that book says. Because you were the one that was encouraging the people to do it. If they came to you with a question about, what about this or what about that? You need to say, the law says, the law says, the law says, this is what you're to do to be pleasing to God. But listen to what these priests, the Lord All-Powerful says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. I am a father, why don't you honor me? I'm a master, so why don't you respect me? They didn't honor, they didn't respect God. How didn't they do that? They didn't follow his way. If we don't do God's will, we don't honor him, we don't respect him. Now, whatever we say, whatever we do, that's just it. We've got to be those people that are willing to do that. And he says here, I am that master. Where's my respect? Your priests do not respect me. All right, now, how are the priests not respecting God? Well, the people are coming in, and he's going to talk about that in just a little bit. They were offering blind and lame, and, you know, here God bring up this lamb to be offered. And the priest looked at it and said, doesn't that thing have mange? He said, yeah, but I'm offering. And the priest said, it's okay, go ahead. Or he brings one in, he got a leg broke, he's about ready to die. And the priest looks at it and says, well, it looks good except for that leg. Go ahead and offer it. That's what the priests were doing. And God's saying, listen, priest, you can't do that. You've got a law here, and you need to understand that. How have you shown me, but you ask, how do we show you disrespect, God? How are we not showing you the respect? He said, when you're offering, verse 7 here, when you are offering unclean animals, it's unclean because you don't respect the altar of the Lord. You don't respect what you're doing. Now, we could take, and in looking at this chapter, I thought, you know, there's about 8 or 10 good sermons in here, and you may get them a little bit later. But he's saying here, you don't have a respect for me. You don't have a respect for the altar of God. Now, when we come and we don't sing and we don't worship and we don't put ourselves into that, we don't involve ourselves in the worship, have we shown the respect for God? You say, well, song leader's not that good. Well, okay. But you're still supposed to sing your heart out and do the best you can. Well, the preacher's not that good. I'm telling you, I have to pinch myself to stay awake. Well, okay, that needs to be done in a better way. But we've got to be people that we are those that are going to serve God. When you serve, when you give us, verse 8, the blind animals and as a sacrifice, and that's wrong, and you know that. You know that it's wrong to do things like that. When you bring crippled and the sick animals, verse 8 there, that's wrong. Try giving these things to your governor. You go out to a physical person and you treat them the way you treat the Lord. Now, sometimes people could say, well, you know, what if I treated my employer like I treat God? I come one day, I'm not here one day. I do my work, and then some days I don't do my work. I don't want to do my work, so I don't do it at all. Now, if you do that on a job, what's going to happen to you? Generally, you're going to be fired over a period of time. He said, you go try to give stuff like that to the Lord. Well, we come when we want to. If we don't want to come, we don't. If we want to serve, we do that. If we don't want to serve, we do that. And then we think, what's wrong with that? But if you do it to your employer, if you do it to your family, suppose a husband just came home one night a week. And his wife didn't know where he was. Kids didn't know where he was. What if the wife didn't come home? What if the husband came home and those kids were there? They were getting their homework, but the wife wasn't anywhere around. She didn't come in for 2 or 3 days. Do you think that fellow would want to know where she is at? I think we all know he would. And he should. Because she's made a commitment to him. He's saying here, you've made a commitment to me. Now you keep the commitment that you've made to me. You keep the commitment that you said, this is what we're going to do to God, and we're going to follow that. Verse 9, now ask God to be kind to you, but he won't accept you with your sacrifices, says the Lord of hosts. Well, now, God, show us respect, show us care, take care of us. But now, I'm not going to show you respect. I'm not going to take care of you. I'm not going to try to do your will. But God, I really want you to respect us, and we deserve that. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve the good gifts that God offers us. What we deserve is to be lost, to be cut off, to be undone. But God loves us, and he wants us to do what's right. He wants us to follow the right way. I wish one of you would close the temple doors so that you would not light the useless fires. They had to offer burnt offerings. To offer burnt offerings, they had to have a fire. He said, listen, shut the door and put a padlock on it and don't go in there and build any fires. Well, God, we can't sacrifice. Well, the sacrifice you're making is abominable. It's terrible. It's awful. So you need to learn to sacrifice the right things. And he's saying, just shut the doors of the temple and walk away from it. Shut the doors. Don't listen to, don't build fires to offer sacrifices, because the sacrifices you're offering are those that are unacceptable to God. And so you're just creating bigger problems and more problems for your own self. And so don't do that. Don't act like that. And don't conduct yourselves in that way. Verse 12, but you don't honor me. You say about the Lord's altar, it's unclean. And the food has no worth. Right, you're going to offer a food offering. Well, you come in and you're holding your food offering like this. Okay, take it, priest. Why don't you hold it closer? It's ruined and it stinks. I really can't smell it. I'd throw up if I had to smell that stuff I'm offering to God. What do you think those people were doing? What do you think they were thinking? What do you think we're thinking if we don't prepare ourselves to serve God? If we don't prepare ourselves to give the best we have to God? Now, we talked about this thing of stewardship a few months ago. And we talked about being stewards of God and honoring God with what we have and giving Him the best. That's what God wanted. That's what God had asked for the children of Israel. That's what He asked for us today. He doesn't want just what you've got left over. He wants the best that you have. That's what He wants. That's the only thing He'll take. Now, we can offer all we want to. We can offer the lame, the blind, the sick, all that. God's not going to accept it. Now, we might fool ourselves into thinking we're doing God's will when we're not. So we need to really look at ourselves and say, are we really doing God's will? Are we really doing what God wants us to do? You say, we are tired of doing this. We're tired of offering those sacrifices. We're tired. Have you ever heard anybody, I'm just tired of going to church. I'm just tired of going down there. Going down there and sit down there and sing those songs and listen to the preacher and all that stuff. I'm just so tired of that. I don't want to do that anymore. Well, you can say that and you can feel like that and you can do that. But please understand, God's not going to accept it. We're going to have to give an account for it. And that's what He's trying to get these people to understand. He's trying to help these people that are in sin learn how to get out of sin. He's trying to show them the right way to go. The problem is, these people think they're doing God's will when they're not. They're fooling themselves. They're the fools. And so he says, don't act like that. Don't conduct yourself that way. you are not living right. You're not conducting yourselves in the right way. And so you need to understand that you're going to have to pay a price. And that price is going to be rather high. Understand that. Now, in chapter 2, he starts talking to the priest. The priests are people who have been trained to speak God's word to people. They're the preachers of that day. Anybody got a question about the law? You go to the priest, they'll tell you. You have a sacrifice to offer for your sin, the priest will offer that sacrifice for your sin. He does that. Remember that lamb that was offered? And then that scapegoat that was let out into the woods and let go because that the sins of the people, and they go away from them. And these people are cleansed. They were cleansed at that time. According to God's law, those people were cleansed. Now, we understand today that the cleansing really happened when Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. And His blood is what cleansed. The blood of bulls and goats is not enough, the Hebrew writer says. Well, that's true. But those people at that time complied with God's will and they received what God said they would get. They received forgiveness. Now, that forgiveness, again, was because of the blood of Christ that was shed there on the cross. Now, here's the priest. The priest, this commands is for you. Now, I'm talking to you priests here, the people that are supposed to be doing God's will. Listen to me, pay attention to what I'm saying. Honor my name. You're telling the priest to honor the name of God? No, God's telling the priest to honor His name. That's what He wants them to do. And these people here don't seem to understand that. Here is the Lord, it says the Lord all-powerful. If you don't, I will send a curse on you and your blessings. I have already cursed them because you don't attend to what I say. The priests are not doing what they have to say. They're not doing what God wants them to do, so they're going to be rejected. God's going to punish them. Now listen at the punishment. I will punish your descendants. I will smear your face with the animal's insides left from your feast, and you will be thrown down. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I hope it don't offend anybody. What he's really saying here, he's really saying to these priests, these people of God, these people that have studied the law all their life, these people that were the ones that were supposed to encourage people to follow the law, he said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the manure from those animals that you offer and I'm going to rub your nose in it. Whoa! Now let me tell you something. If somebody does that to you, they're not real pleased with you, okay? They're not real happy with you. They don't respect you. They don't honor you. They don't care for you. But God says, this is what I'm going to do with you priests that are supposed to be doing the will of God and you're not doing it. I'm going to rub your noses in the refuge from these animals you sacrifice. Whoa. Now, if that's not a warning to these people that they need to be doing better, I don't know what is. That is a warning that these people need to listen to and they need to think. My agreement for priest, verse 5, was with the tribe of Levi. I set the tribe of Levi aside as those people that were going to show that honor and show that respect for God. And he talks about Levi here, and Levi was not a perfect person, but Levi was one who wanted to do God's will. And he uses him here as an example. You're not following your father, Levi. You're not following what he wants you to do. You're following your own way. You're doing your own thing. And he said, listen, that's wrong. Don't do that. Don't act like that. I promised them life and peace so that they would honor me. God said, I'm going to give you something for your honoring of me. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you a prosperity. I'm going to have the people to watch over you. Remember, the priests didn't get any of the land promise. They were taken care of by the people. Whatever the people had, they were willing to give to the priest so the priest could survive. They survived off of the offerings that the people made to them. Now, let me tell you something. If somebody brought a bad-looking lamb up to the priest to give to him, I don't think they would have appreciated that at all. But now here they were letting God accept that. Do you see how corrupt this had come? How corrupt these people were? How that they had turned away from God? They were not showing the honor. They were not showing the honor to Levi. God set that up. I set you up as that. You need to understand that. They taught the true teaching and they spoke no lies. Levi and the other priests, they were willing to follow God and do God. But look at you. You're not doing it. You're not following God. You're not doing God's will. They taught true teaching. and they spoke no lies. With peace and honesty, they did what I said for them to do, and they kept many people from sinning. Okay, what you're doing in allowing these things to be done is you're allowing people to sin. Anytime we see sin and we don't say anything about it, we're allowing it. We're allowing it to continue. And we're going to suffer in that. Remember the Old Testament, I think it's Ezekiel, he talks there about the blood. If you see a person sin, you are to warn that person of their sins. And if they change, you've saved their soul. That's in the New Testament also, but also in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it said you've hid a multitude of sins because of that. Here he's saying, you're allowing this. You're encouraging people in this. The priest should teach, verse 7, what he knows. He said, it's not a matter of ignorance. I think most of us know what God's will is, basically. We know it. Knowing is not it. Doing it is it. Knowing the will of God, these priests knew the will of God, but when they brought those lambs up there that were unclean, were not to be sacrificed, and they accepted it, they were those people that were going against the law of God. And they were those that were not going to be accepted by God. They knew what was right, but they didn't do it. Let me tell you something. If you know what's right and you don't do it, that's sin. Simple. It's not complicated. You don't need a theologian to sit down and explain it to you. It's very simple. We've got to understand that. We've got to recognize what's going on there. But you priests, verse 8, you've stopped obeying me. With your teaching, you have caused many people to do wrong. You have broke the agreement with the tribe of Levi. Okay, preacher, you're not doing your job. Okay, elders, you're not doing your job. Okay, deacons, you're not doing your job. Why? Because you're not doing what God wants you to do, what you know you need to do. And nobody needs to tell you that. You know it, and you know what you've got to do. So you're not doing that, says the God, the Lord, all-powerful. You have not been careful to do, verse 9, what I say. But instead, you take sides in court cases. You take the wrong side. Whoever give me the most money, I'll say you're right. I'll say you're okay. A crooked judge is a crooked judge is a crooked judge. And he says it's wrong and you shouldn't do that. So I have caused you to be hated and disgraced in front of everybody. They didn't have any respect for the priest. Now if they didn't have any respect for the priest, are they going to have any respect for the law? Remember one of the prophets, his son did evil. And he asked, why are you doing this? And they just kept doing it. And he allowed them to do it. And it was wrong for him to do that. It's wrong for us to do that. And we've got to understand that. Judah was not loyal to God. Starting in verse 10, he talks about that. Judah was not loyal to God as they should be. Verse 10, we all have the same Father, the same God made us. So why do people break their promises to each other and show no respect for the agreement our ancestors made with God? You don't honor each other. You don't respect each other. You don't show respect for each other. You don't show respect for God. You don't do that. I don't know if we've comprehended in Christianity that our relationship with our brethren is more important than we really, really realize. I mean, we talk about churches, we can talk about individuals, we can run them down. I was at a preacher's thing the other day, and this guy was talking about a church. Oh, how terrible they are, how awful they are. And I think, those are your brethren. They're your brethren. Don't do that. Now, you may not want to worship there. Fine, don't do it. But don't be so critical of other people. Don't talk about them. Don't run them down. Don't do that. If you've got something to say, go say it to them. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. But we'll do that. And we feel like we're all right in doing that. You know, gossip's wrong. Gossip about another congregation's wrong. I've had people tell me things about congregations, and I said, oh, did you know they did that? No, but I was told by a guy that told somebody that he heard it. Well, if you go through all that, let me tell you something. You don't know nothing. Go down there and find out. Go over there. Look at them. See what they're doing. You might understand they're doing something better than you're doing it. They're honoring God in a greater way than you're honoring God. So you need to learn to honor God. You need to learn to other people. You need to show respect for others, because if you don't show respect for others, you're not going to show respect for God. That's it. You're not going to show that respect. The people of Judah, verse 11, have broken their promises. They're not following God. They're not following God's will. They have done something God hates in Israel and in Jerusalem. The people of Judah did not respect the temple that the Lord loves, and the men of Judah married women who worshiped foreign gods. Now, he's not getting on the thing of divorce here, but he's saying, look what happened here. You brought in other gods for people to serve. And you thought, well, you know, I can go down here and I can worship God, and then I can go with my wife over here that worships this idol and worship that idol. It's not going to bother me. No, you don't do that. You don't do that at all. That's not showing the respect for God that you should show. And it's saying here, don't act like that. And then these people were not even honoring their wives that they had. He said, what about the wives of your youth? Are you honoring them? Do you know a person that will be disrespectful of other people, that will not honor other people, that will not show a care for other people, they don't do it for God either. And we can't be that way. So we've got to be willing to show that honor and show that respect. Okay, Linda's not up here. She's back there and I can't see that far, so I got to look at my watch. We need to learn to do that. And you ask why? It's because your Lord sees how you treat your wives. He sees how you act in your families. God sees that. I may not see it. I may miss it. But let me tell you something. God sees everything. He sees it all. He sees what you hide in the deepest, darkest corner of your heart. He knows what's there. That's the reason we got to get this religion in our heart and not just in our hands. It's got to be in our heart, and it shows out through our hands and through the life that we live. He wants them to understand that. Be careful and do not break your promises to your wives you married when you were young. You keep those promises. You do what God wants you to do. He said there's a special day coming, verse 17. Understand this special day and how wonderful it is. You have tried the Lord with your words. You ask, how have we tried Him? See, these people were doing wrong, and they acted like, we don't know we're doing anything wrong. He said, you know it. You know it. Just understand it. You did it by saying the Lord thinks anyone who does evil is good, and He is pleased with them. Or you ask, where is God? Where's the God who is supposed to be fair? Where's He at? And he's saying, listen, you have to understand here that you are not doing God's will. You're not following God. You're not doing what God wants you to do. And you need to come and you need to follow the will of God. Verse 6 in chapter 3 here, he's saying, you are stealing from God. Now, we talked about stewardship. This is a part of one of the passages that we looked in, looking at stewardship. He said, you're stealing from God. The Lord gave a charge to them. Your descendants of Jacob have been destroyed. Since the time of your ancestors, you have disobeyed my rules and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of all powerful. He said, listen, I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you of your sins, but you've got to be willing to return. Let me tell you something. The grace of God, the power of God, it's awesome, it's wonderful, and it's great. But you can't have it if you don't repent and come to God. It won't be yours. I don't care how much respect you think you're showing toward God, you're not showing enough, as it should be. And so here he's saying, you need to understand this. You ask, how can we return? How can we do that? Should a person rob God? Well, we haven't robbed God. I haven't taken anything from God. You see, if you don't give it and you're holding it back, you're robbing God. Ananias and Sapphira, what was their sin? Well, they didn't give. No, they robbed God. They said, we're going to give this much, but they didn't. They robbed God. I wonder how many people, when they write their checks, are robbing God. Had a lady one time to tell me, said, I can't give. I've got so many bills. I said, who made them? She said, I did. I said, well, don't blame the Lord for it then. Give Him His part. We've got to understand that these people were robbing God and didn't even realize that they were robbing God. You have robbed me in your offerings and the tenth of your crops. A fellow come in and said, well, you know, It's been a bad year, and the corners of my crops, I didn't leave much for the poor. And here's what I gave out of that. You know, it's not quite a tenth, but I'll try to make it up next year. Trying to make up your contribution doesn't work. Trying to make up your service doesn't work. Repent, come to God, and then start doing better, is what he's trying to say. Understand that, and you be willing to follow God. The Lord promises mercy. Now, you see in this, God's giving a warning, and then he's giving the idea of you can get out of this. You can be forgiven of this. Please understand, God will forgive you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you've murdered, stole, raped, whatever. God can forgive it. And God will forgive it if we will repent of it. He'll do that. So why in the world should we keep our sins on us? Why in the world should we not repent? Why in the world should we not say to God, God, I'm sorry? Why shouldn't we tell people, listen, I've been living a wrong life. I need to live the right kind of life. I need to repent. I need to do that. God wants to give you mercies. The Lord says, verse 13, you have said terrible things about me, but you ask, what have we said about you, God? You have said it is useless to serve God. Woo. Would you say that? It's useless to serve God. It did no good to obey his laws and to show the Lord all-powerful that we were sorry for what we did. We're not going to do that. We're not going to show God that we're sorry for what we did. In fact, we're not sorry. Sometimes we're proud of it. And he said, that's not the way you need to be. And you need to be willing to understand this. But God said, even in all that, I will forgive you. I will forgive you and I will bring you back. He wants them to know this. He wants them to understand that his mercy is there for them. I will show mercy to my people, the latter part of verse 17. I'm going to show mercy to them. I'm going to show mercy, and I'll continue to do that. But understand now, if you're going to walk over here and walk into sin, you're not going to have the mercy of God. You're going to have the wrath of God. And so here we see the mercy of God, and then we see the punishment that God will equate to those people that are not following him. God always points that, and he's trying to encourage those people to do what's right. He wants them to follow what's right. You, verse 18, will again see the difference between good and evil, between those who serve God and those who don't. He said, one of these days, you're going to understand the difference between those that are serving God, those that are not serving God. And it's not going to be good at that time. Is he warning them about a judgment to come? Yeah, I think so. Now, look at chapter 4 here. The day of the Lord's judging. There's always going to be a time when every person will give an account to God. That's it. We need to understand that. There's always going to be that time. There's a day coming that will burn like a hot fire, and all the proud and evil people will be like straw. You're going to be in a hot place, and it's not going to be a good thing because you're going to be like tinder. Had a fellow at Rogersville one time. Some boys were acting up, and he had these big bundles of hay, and they got out there and set those things on fire. I mean, firemen came out there and squirted those things, but you couldn't, after a while, you couldn't get it stopped. It just kept going, burned all of it up. It's hard to stop that. And he said, that's the way it's going to be with you when you show that disrespect for God. But for you who honor me, now listen to this. He just said, if you're not following me, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get a fire. Now, look at verse 2. But for you, chapter 4 and verse 2, but for you who honor me, goodness will shine on you like the sun with healing in its rays. See that? See the contrast there between the two? And he said, I want you to know that. That's going to be there. You will jump around like well-fed calves. They are healthy, they are happy, and they are good. That's what God is going to do for those people. Then you will crush the wicked like ashes under your feet. One day, I will do this, the Lord All-Powerful seems to say. Remember the teachings of Moses, my servant. These laws and rules I have given to you on Mount Sinai for all of Israel. It is for Israel. that law of Moses. We need to understand that. But I will send an Elijah, the prophet, before that great and terrifying day of the Lord's judgment. I think he's talking here about John the Baptist. He's going to send John the Baptist. John the Baptist stood up and he preached it. Remember, there was a fellow there that had a woman that wasn't supposed to be his wife. And John the Baptist said, it's wrong for you to have her. And let me tell you, you don't tell a person in charge in a country like that that he's doing wrong. You'll lose your life. You'll lose your life. And here, this person understands that. Elijah will help parents love their children and children to love their parents. Otherwise, I will come and put a curse on the land. He said, I want you to know, God wants you to do what's right. God wants you to follow what's right. God doesn't want you to go the wrong way. He'll forgive you if you do that. But please understand, if we will not repent, he cannot do anything for us. It's left up in our hands. We've got to stand before God and give an account for ourselves, for the way we live. And it won't be anybody's fault. I've heard preachers say, well, you know, people on the judgment are going to look and say, look at what you've done. You didn't teach me. Well, I understand that to a certain extent. But let me tell you something. You're not going to point your finger at anybody else there, because I don't care what other people do. You've got to do what's right. These priests didn't do what was right. Could those people say, well, God, your priest didn't do what was right. They didn't follow the right way. And because they didn't follow the right way and they didn't do what was right, we're justified. He said, I don't care if your priest don't do what's right. I don't care if anybody doesn't do what's right. You have a responsibility to do what's good. I've heard people say, well, the preacher, he doesn't do right. Well, okay, preacher needs to repent. Well, the elders don't do right. Well, okay, the elders need to repent. Well, the people don't do what's right. Well, they need to repent. Don't look at the elders and say it's their fault. Don't look at the preacher and say it's his fault. And preachers, you don't look at the elders and say it's their fault. Take your responsibility for what you know is right, what you know you need to do. This little book is a wonderful little book. 4 chapters, not that long. Look at it. Honor it. Show, see what it is. It's got a message for people today. You see why God was quiet for 400 years after this? What else could he say? If the people wouldn't follow the way of God, if they wouldn't follow this, what good does it say to say anything else? If you're not going to follow that, would you follow another sermon on that, and another sermon on that, and another sermon on that? Remember what Jesus said to some fellows? You go into a house, and if they receive you, then you stay there. If they don't receive you, and they don't receive the word, and they don't receive the message you receive, what do you tell them to do? Dust off your feet, go to somebody else. Don't stick around there. You clean your feet off, and you go someplace else. Because they don't deserve the gospel. Nobody deserves the gospel twice until everybody's heard it at least once. If you're here tonight and your life is not right with God, I want to encourage you to make it right. You don't worry about what anybody else thinks. You don't worry about what